Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Rudrale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Bhakti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesha Shandravari Pastishade Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Virgadaya Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I'm going to speak briefly. I'm going to just speak about today's topic, the glories of the Vanaprastha Ashram, from just a particular angle which I wanted to cover, something which I experienced to be very relevant to my own service and to our society. And I'm sure there's other speakers who will be speaking this evening who will fill in a lot more of the essential ingredients to complete the message of the glories of the Vanaprastha Ashram. I'd like to begin just by relating a little story which I thought would be relevant, experience that I had. You may wonder, as the story progresses, how it's connected, especially when you hear the end of the story, but I'll try to tie it in and connect it at the end up to the topic that I wanted to cover this evening. I was reflecting on, remembering, it was quite some years ago, when I was, I think I might have been regional secretary, I could have been GBC. In Boston. I just recently become the GBC. And there was one Indian woman, a member of our congregation. She was a very major contributor to our temple. She was always very enthusiastic to preach. She would always speak and give announcements at our Sunday program. She would always speak to guests, share some of her own realizations. And she was very knowledgeable. She knew so much from Bhagavad Gita. She studied Bhagavad Gita quite extensively. And I always used to appreciate her contribution that she was giving to the temple. And then her son, she encouraged her son to, her youngest son, to come to me and to confide in me, ask questions about spiritual life, ask questions about practical questions also about married life, of which I confided in him and told him I wasn't really the best person to talk to about that. But nonetheless, I tried to guide him in some particular way, according to the questions he asked. And then the youngest son, later, he got married and told me, thanked me for the guidance I had given to him and how it was relevant for his spiritual life. And then very shortly thereafter, I received a letter from this woman. It was a very confidential letter, and it was probably written, as I said, maybe 20-something years ago. I think I could probably reveal it. I have revealed it before to others. Other things that she wrote confidentially to me. But in her letter, she sort of like introduced herself, said, "You probably know who I am, I thought you don't know everything about me, so I wanted to take this opportunity to confidentially share some things about my life because I want you to know this," because she considered to me a spiritual mentor. And then in a letter she began to explain how she had been raised from birth in a Vaishnava family. And she, all the principles of Krishna consciousness that we follow, she learned from her very birth and practiced them throughout her whole life. And she said that, you know, meat, intoxication, none of these things ever passed my lips during my whole life. She was an older woman, not at the time considered older, but I have to be careful how I use older now, because she's probably about what my age was now. But some in her 60s. So she's explaining that that now, and she thanked me. She said, "I want to thank you so much for the guidance that you gave to my son, and now that my younger son has been married, and I wanted to reveal to you some of the more confidential things I've been holding for some time." She said, "Although I was born in a Vaishnava family and followed the principles of Vaishnavism all my whole life, for some reason unknown to me, even today, my father married me to a man who would not follow even one of the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness." Here she was, a woman in her mid-60s, and saying that, "I've lived my whole life with my family. I've raised my children. I was a faithful servant of my husband. And now, thank you very much, my last child is married. And I want to give what I have for the rest of my life in service to Krishna. And I marveled when I read this letter. There was more in it. But what I could understand is that this woman had so much wisdom, life's experience. Here she was, living her whole life, born in a Vaishnava family, living with a man who didn't even follow one of the regulative principles her whole life. But she was so Krishna conscious. So I was thinking that here's a woman with so much wisdom who followed the principles of Krishna consciousness her whole life, with a husband who didn't follow any of the principles. What to speak of the valuable assets we have in our Krishna consciousness movement of senior devotees who've lived their lives 25, 35, 40 years as married couples, raise their children, and both of them follow the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. How much wisdom, such valuable depth of wisdom these devotees, I'm looking at so many of them here today, and I would call you out one by one, but there's too many of you. A real spiritual culture has great respect for elders. They're most very valuable, integral part of a culture. Why? Because they have wisdom. They have life experience. I'll give you an example. Just today, this afternoon, I was invited to a wedding and I was asked to speak. I said, "No, I don't want to speak." Why didn't I want to speak? Because I knew there was God brothers there who had so much wisdom. Married householders. Why? Because I'm a sannyasi in a group. Should I speak at a wedding? There's devotees who have much more realization than I could possibly offer. I could offer a few quotes here and there, maybe. What do I know? But they know. And I was right. I was right. I listened to my God brother speak, and it was almost like tears in my eyes. I was thinking, what a valuable contribution to this event this God brother just gave. He was a householder, senior householder, but so much wisdom and life's experience. We're not tapping that resource in our Krishna consciousness movement, and it's painful. It's so painful sometimes when I see the lack of respect for elders. But a culture is supposed to have respect for elders. Otherwise, where's the culture? If there's no respect for this wisdom, life's experience, what to speak of? I talked initially about a woman who lived with a husband who didn't follow any principles, but we're looking at devotees who followed the principles and raised their children, and it's time for them to come out the other side and be valuable contributors to our society. Vanaprastha ashram is that ashram. Even if they haven't even achieved or taken Vanaprastha yet, but that wisdom is meant to be shared with others. Why should devotees come? And that's why I didn't want to speak today. To me, I think that I'm authority on my household or life. At least this life, I've never been married. And I mean, I could give a few quotes, I could talk about it in theory. But why not take the wisdom from those who can speak from the depth of their hearts and realization how to survive and live in Krishna consciousness in householder life? And the majority of our society is householders. This is the great value that I see in the Vanaprastha ashram, is that it fills a very serious gap in our movement. When we come to recognize the contribution that these senior devotees can give to our spiritual culture. That's my angle that I wanted to speak about. I'd like to end just with a short quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very short. And from Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he speaks a little bit about this point. He says that there are three types of service to elders: protection of parents, protection of teachers, and protection of other elders. One must follow the instructions of parents and serve them as much as possible. The person should serve those who have protected him as a helpless child. He should also serve those who have given knowledge, especially those who have given knowledge and mantra. Those are considered superior who are bigger in body, greater in age, or more... I'm just reading the quote. Or more experienced in knowledge. One must respect and serve them all. One cannot follow incorrect orders of a superior, but one should not show hostility towards him using disrespectful or harsh words. One should put a stop to their improper behavior or instructions by using sweet words, humility, and gentle reasoning at the proper time. Disrespect to elders has three objects: parents, teachers, and other superiors. Even if the superior makes a mistake, he should never be disrespected. A person should be careful to please superiors with polite and gracious conduct. To disobey the orders of superiors is also disrespect. Thank you. Hare Krishna.